Well, it's good to have the Word of God for all that we do in our lives, isn't it? Something to give us a guide. What I want to do in a little while this afternoon is bring you to the feet of the Lord Jesus. That's the aim of my exercise, to come to the feet of the Lord Jesus. So let's begin by looking at John chapter 1. Won't mention the feet, but it will be obvious what it refers to. John chapter 1 and verse number 27. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes lacked I am not worthy to unloose. Verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. So my first point is the shoes of his feet. I want to learn a little lesson about the attitude that John the Baptist had to the shoes of his feet. What was John meaning here when he spoke about this? He was thinking of two things. They both related, but he was thinking about the preeminence of the Lord, and he's thinking about the smallness, if you like to use that word, of himself. And you're seeing that huge gap. The preeminence of the Lord, and yet John said he was unworthy to deal with the shoes on the feet of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if we realise when we serve the Lord, and we all are servants of the Lord, just how unworthy we are and how great he is. Do you ever feel that our service has something about it that lifts it a little higher? Just remember the person that we're serving is absolutely preeminent. And John, as he looks at this and feels the preeminence of the Lord, he just feels as though he can't approach even his feet. He feels so small in himself. Now let's always keep that kind of thing in mind, the privilege of serving and the preeminence of Christ. If you want to just put that against another backdrop, you think of James and John. Their request was to sit one on the right hand and the other on the left of the Lord in his glory. See, there was lacking something there of an appreciation, first of how great the Lord was, and second, how small we are. And that to me seems to be the lesson that you get from looking at John's attitude to the shoes of his feet. Notice what he said here. He said it twice. He said he's preferred before me, and the second time he said it, he preferred before me, for he was before me. And there seems to be no other question from John's point of view. He came after me, but he is more important, let's put it, than I am, because he existed before me. Tremendous statement of the eternal existence of the Lord Jesus. And he came into this world, and yes, 6 months after John, but John says, I can't even approach the shoes of his feet. So when we're involved in the service of the Lord, in any sense at all, let's approach it humbly. Let's approach it as those who feel unworthy to do it. And how do we serve the Lord? Well, of course, the Lord Jesus said, if you do this to any of mine, you're doing it to me. So as you move amongst the people of God and as you seek to serve the Lord in that sort of fashion, just be humble about it and recognize that we're not really worthy of it. But God has, and the Lord has, given us these things to do for his honour. But let's keep the humility in everything that we do. Well, now, there are other things regarding the feet of the Lord, and some scriptures have people who fell at his feet. I'm going to look at those. Some have they sat at his feet. And then there's another one. They anointed his feet. And then finally, the Lord Jesus comes and he shows them his feet. Interesting. to see what the Lord does. So let's go to the first one then, the falling at his feet. I wonder what that could mean, falling at his feet. It seems to me that anyone who fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus was, again, overcome with the greatness of the Lord and perhaps the greatness of a need they had that were bringing. But I'll mention a few of them and then I'll read one of them. Remember the lepers that were cleansed. And they went away and then one came back. Luke 17, verse 16, verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? Fall at his feet, giving him thanks. When we recognise that the Lord has done something for us, that the Lord has, in a sense, met a need, we can fall at his feet. And we obviously can't physically fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus. That is our spiritual attitude. We come down to his feet, we fall at his feet, giving him thanks. We've noticed the importance of thanksgiving in the Bible study. We saw that was one of the types of prayer, thanksgiving, and it occurs so often through the scriptures when you're praying, there's always thanksgiving goes with it. Let's not make our prayers all asking. Let's have a little bit of recognition of the Lord's gracious dealings. But the Samaritan, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And it puts on the end of that, and he was a Samaritan. He didn't have any of those links with the Lord Jesus that the Jews had, and certainly that we have today. But he just emphasised by that, here is someone who was even an outsider, who was willing to recognise that the Lord had done something great. He glorified God and he gave him thanks. There was that woman who came, whose daughter had an unclean spirit, and it says in Mark 7:25, she came and fell at his feet. She was a Greek, a Syrophoenician. It seems that the people on the outside are more thankful than the people who were close. And that's something that Scripture tells us, isn't it? That there's two people in the Gospels who the Lord says had great faith, and they both were non-Jews. They both were people outside. So let's make sure, let's bring it into our context, let's make sure that we are a thankful people, and we are a people who follow this line. They fell at his feet. Jairus did the same thing in Mark chapter 5. He became one of the rulers of the synagogue. So he's an important man in his day. But when he saw him, he fell at his feet. It doesn't matter how important we are. We think we are. That's more the point, isn't it? We can still fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He still deserves our utter devotion and total submission. And these people fell at his feet. You remember when the Lord Jesus in John chapter 11 came to Mary and Martha? Martha met him first, but then Mary came out, and it says in John 11, 32, when Mary was come and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She's come to the feet of the Lord Jesus. He's someone who knew the Lord, knew him very well, and we'll see her again as we go through these scriptures. But it seems that it was common with her to indicate her appreciation of the Lord by falling at his feet. I want to read one now, and it's still falling at his feet, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, and we'll read verse 17. Remember, John turned to see, it's interesting how it speaks, as John turned to see the voice. When he turned, he saw a person. And verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. I often think of this verse here, and I think of John. John was the one who was closest to the Lord. Peter even signaled John to ask the vital question when the disciples were together. But here John sees the Lord in his glory, and he fell at his feet as dead. In other words, he had nothing to say. I wonder, what should it be like when we see the Lord? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, we have a picture in our mind of a man who walked this world. As we learn more about the Lord, we have some of the great love and compassion and care and power, all these things built up. But what will it be to see him? In Isaiah 52, it speaks about the Lord coming and it says, "The kings of the earth shall shut their mouths at him." Why? Because what they see, they'll never have even contemplated. There is a glory that belongs to the Lord Jesus that is far beyond our greatest imagination. So let's try to build that into our lives' appreciation of the Lord. And really, that's what this is showing. Everyone who looks at the feet of the Lord Jesus teaches the lesson about the greatness and majesty of the Lord Jesus. So he says, "I am the first and the last." I guess we would have nothing to say too. People have all these ideas about what they would say, but we will be dumbfounded when we see the glory of the Lord Jesus. But now, not only falling at his feet, but those who sat at his feet. Remember that demon-possessed man? Must have been a terrible sight to see. He was totally out of control. Couldn't control himself, neither could anybody else. The Lord healed him. And it says, the people came out to see what was done, and they found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. That's Luke 8 and 15. Sitting and clothed and in his right mind. I wonder what that means. What was his right mind? He was a man who, after being totally discontented, is now contented, sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. How do you do that? How do you sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus? We'll see it. Another one that will help us a bit, that. But really, if you take the Word of God and you read it and you meditate upon it, you're sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. I feel that if you desire to be close to the Lord Jesus, then get the Gospels and read them. Listen to his words. Look at his power. See his compassion. Think about the Lord Jesus sitting at his feet. That is the lost art, I would say, of meditation. Just thinking about the Word of God, letting it seep in and through. And I must admit, there are many times when I'm meditating on scriptures and I don't have my Bible open or with me. I might be walking up and down anywhere I am with things going through my mind, sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, recognizing the glory of the one who is there. That's what this man would have done. He would have said, "He healed me." And, you know, people couldn't believe it. He found it hard himself, I guess. He's just sitting totally content. Are you contented with the Lord Jesus? Do you need anything else? This man didn't need anything else now. He's clothed in his right man's right mind and just sitting there at the feet of the Lord Jesus. But I want to come to one to read now, and that's in Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 10. Luke 10 and verse number 39. So they're in the house of Martha. And verse 39, "He had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Something to do with the feet of Jesus. "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" A good part. You know, we can be very busy in the things of the Lord. But the Lord Jesus said, sitting at his feet is the good part. We can become so active that we miss the voice of the Lord Jesus. We make our plans, we carry them out with great zeal and enthusiasm, but do we stop to sit at his feet? It's interesting to think about here. The Lord was often asked to intervene in situations, and he did this. Remember the two brothers who came and said to the Lord, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance." The Lord said, I'm not a judge. But he said, I'll teach you a lesson. Don't be covetous. It got the right answer there, didn't it? You make the decision between us. Remember the woman taken in adultery, and the men who accused her all went out, and she's there just for the Lord, and the Lord says, neither do I condemn you. He didn't get involved. Mind you, think about it, he couldn't really, because you need two witnesses, and he was there on his own with the woman. Neither do I condemn you. I'm not in the place to do it. He's not saying she was right. Go and sin no more, but the Lord Jesus didn't intervene. So here, he didn't intervene here. He said, look, Martha, you're very busy, and you didn't condemn that. He said, you've got yourself a bit troubled about things. But Mary, she's chosen the good part. And what was she doing? She was hearing his words. So again I say, don't forget to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus in the midst of all the busyness of life. Take time out to hear what the Lord has to say to you. We all need to hear his voice. And so she did that, and Mary was greatly blessed from that. So that's the sitting at his feet. But what about another one? I'm not sure what I'm doing with time. I don't think I'm too bad. Anointing his feet. Let's read from Luke 7. Falling at his feet, sitting at his feet, anointing his feet. All in the background of John saying, I'm not worthy to do anything to his feet. Interesting, isn't it? Luke chapter 7, verse 37. Behold, a woman of the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears and wiped them at the hairs of her head, kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. You get the picture. The Lord is at the table, which means he's hops leaning on his elbow with his feet out behind on the bench they sit on. He wasn't sitting with his feet under the table. His feet were behind him, and she comes in and she stops at his feet. She doesn't try to get round to his head, she stops at his feet. And what does she do? Well, it says here, she was weeping and she washed his feet with tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Did the Lord Jesus appreciate this? Was this something that really meant something to him? Well, he says this to Simon in verse 44. Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. This woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet. Not my head, she's actually anointed my feet, showing the valuation of the Lord Jesus. Wherefore, and this is the point, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. There it is. That's why she anointed his feet. She loved the Lord Jesus. That's a good reason to anoint the feet of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord goes on to say, your sins are forgiven you, not because she loved. The love is the proof that her faith, your faith has saved you, go in peace. But just keep in mind this, that she anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus because she loved him. And the question that we must put to ourselves is, do we love the Lord Jesus? Once she broke that alabaster box, there was no getting it back again. Something that she was giving away because she valued the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They fell at his feet as they came in recognition of who he was and what they needed. They sat at his feet to hear what he had to say because they were totally absorbed in himself. They anointed his feet as this woman did because of that love that she had for the Lord Jesus. And that's a very wonderful thing. Just let me read John 12. It's a similar thing in some ways, but there's one other point here. John 12 and verse number 1. Go to verse 2. There they made him supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. and Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then it says, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Look at the word of the Lord Jesus in verse 7. Let her alone. I love those words. Leave her alone. What she's done for me. Never you mind about what you could have done for her. She did it for me. Let her alone. So here is someone who has come with very costly. Have you ever thought that something that you could give to the Lord is too costly to give? Have you ever felt that there's something you could give and provided you can get it back again, you'll put it there on the table? She couldn't get this back. This was total devotion to the Lord Jesus. Remember Paul? On the Damascus Road, he tells us in Philippians the things that were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. And then he says, I still have the same idea. I still count them as lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered, listen to it, the loss of all things, count them as rubbish, that I may win Christ. What's our profit and loss statement in our minds? Is there anything in your life that you would not give to the Lord if the Lord directed you to do so? That's a big question. How much are you prepared to move in the direction the Lord is taking you in spite of what it will cost you as far as this world is concerned? I remember someone saying, who was a professor of anthropology, and heard the things we were doing. He said, what a waste. Why was it a waste? Because he was looking at it from the world's point of view. He's been hearing the world has a totally different way of assessing. What a waste. Well, waste, if you will. He that saves his life shall lose it. But he that loses his life for my sake shall save it. Do you want something in eternity? Lose it now and you'll get it better. Well, that brings me to the last one. About time, I'm getting a bit longer than usual. Luke 24, and I'll just read the verse and then think about it. Luke 24, verse number 39. The Lord Jesus in resurrection. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and blood, as you see me have. The Lord Jesus presented his feet. They had the nail prints in them. And for all that others had valued the Lord Jesus coming to his feet, the men of the day had no understanding. They didn't know it was the King of Glory that they were crucifying. And they put nails to his feet. And the Lord held those to the disciples, said, behold, I'm alive. I've risen from the dead. Behold, my hands and my feet. May the Lord help us to enjoy just being at the feet of the Lord Jesus and hearing his word and doing his will.